It is Danny David Moore in our weekly visit with Jerry DePoto. He joins us now on the Venue Kings Hotline. Jerry, first of all, we got a fourth Mariner to the All-Star game. That had to be pretty fun to watch how everybody rallied around Gene Segura.
And deservedly going to the All-Star game. But it has to be even a little bit more special for Gene and for all of us that everybody contributed to getting him there. He's done his part by really being arguably our MVP in the first half of the season. And I think in the conversation for the American League version of that for the first half, but obviously a thick position and we needed our fan base to rally, and they sure did. It was unbelievable, and kudos to the Mariners marketing people, Camden Finney and Greg Green and Kevin Martinez, and our group has just been phenomenal and really showed up on this occasion.
Yeah, and Jerry, would you say that it's better that, I mean, maybe it would have made him feel a little better to just get voted in right away, but it's almost better that it worked out this way because you got a chance to see how much everybody loves him.
I think that's right. That, you know, obviously it would have been a whole lot of love if he'd been voted into the game.
Right.
But it's the fact that he was trailing behind guys like Francisco Lindor and Manny Machado is certainly not, you know, a slight. But he's had such a great first half, and the fact that this is the way it happened kind of epitomizes the 2018 Mariners, where, you know, it's about team, it's about relying on one another, and it doesn't just extend among our 25 players, but clearly among the community of Mariner fans.
Hey, Jerry, your team's right in the middle of this this pennant chase here, the AL West, and it's within reach now. If you win tonight, you'll be two games behind the Houston Astros. I imagine you took a lot of interest in the Oakland-Houston series. Who are you rooting for in that one?
Whoever wins did a good job. I guess at the end of the day, we couldn't lose with this one because, you know, either the team in front of us or the team behind us is going to take a loss every day. And, you know, clearly we found a team that has figured out how to take care of the Astros. Good for the A's. This was, you know, they had a tough time with the Astros this year and even in their last 10 games against them. But obviously they showed up in this four-game series, and they are playing as good a baseball right now as anybody. Obviously winning 19 out of 24. I said something yesterday or the day before, I think, We've gone 13-8 in our last 21 games, and somehow the A's gained four games on us, which is almost impossible to believe. But it's happened, and you know, keeps us on our toes, and certainly gives us a chance at catching the team in front of us as well. Should be fun in the second half.
That's nice of you to say that, Jerry, because if I was in your position, I would have rooted for 17 blown hamstrings on each team.
That's dark, Dave. Just
well,
so dark.
I mean, look, you don't want either of them winning, man.
Never root for injuries.
I'm gonna try to get some good karma, Dave. I'll steer clear of rooting for injuries.
I don't expect you to respond to that, Jerry. Go ahead. Jim.
Well, why are the A's so good all of a sudden? I haven't been taking them seriously, and I guess I've been wrong about them.
Well, you have to. I think two things. One that hasn't changed since opening day is they do have a nucleus of one of the more interesting young position player groups in the league. You know, guys like Matt Olson and Matt Chapman, and they really are a good group. Athletic, Marcus Semien and Chris Davis, they can hit, they can score runs. I guess most importantly, they hit homers, and that goes a long way. And they've also got a pretty dynamic back end of their bullpen with guys like Lou Trevino stepping up, a phenomenal first half from Blake Treinen. They've got a really nice thing going with power and bullpen. And, you know, the A's always find a way to make themselves a competitive team. And at least that's the way it seems being in the AL West all these years. And they've done it again.
It's our weekly visit with Jerry DePoto. And Jerry, one thing they kind of have in common with your team is that they've been really good late. I think the A's, after today's game, they've scored 69 runs in the eighth inning, which is the most in Major League Baseball. And today was their eighth win when they've been trailing after seven games. You guys have been really good late in games, too. And I've wondered, obviously having a good bullpen into great bullpen, and the A's have Trevino and then Treinen, you mentioned, but there's also the scoring. Has your guys' success late in games, does that relate to some of the approaches of your hitters or the length of the lineup, do you think?
I think it's the length of the lineup. I also think, and I've mentioned this before, you know, on the public airways, we have a unique team, particularly in the American League, in that we get late in games. We handle velocity fairly well. We have somehow managed to be much better against bullpens than we've been against starting pitchers, which in today's day and age with the velocity or stuff that comes out of a bullpen is pretty amazing. And at the end of games where other teams are maybe reliant on a walk and a homer, we have a knack for figuring out a way, whether it be a walk, a couple of infield singles, bunting runners over. We've done remarkable things by keeping the ball in the infield and playing small ball and then coming through with that big hit at a critical time and then just handing the ball to Edwin Diaz. And that's been a pretty good formula for us, and I don't expect that that's going to change.
Hey, Jerry, you and Scott, we talked about this last week, and I know these were all trades, but you got D to be okay with playing center field, D Gordon, and Denard Span to move away from his home. It's his hometown. And Alex Colome to become more of a setup guy than a closer, even though he had more saves than anyone in the American League last year, which is just speaks to how you guys have done such a great job of creating an environment and a team sort of concept there. But it seems like Alex Colome, especially lately, has really come around and starting to really respond to that new role that he's playing.
Yeah, I think that lends itself to our clubhouse community. Once players get here, I think they really enjoy the looseness in the environment, the togetherness, the support and belief in one another. And I think it permeates from that room and goes throughout the organization. It's from chairman right on down to the guys who support the club every day in the clubhouse. And I think that's an important thing for a team to know that everybody around you cares. And guys like Span and Colome particularly, they've been really good for us. And, you know, Colome came over here, like you said, leading the league in saves last year, number one in the American League in saves over the last 3 years. So having been fairly well decorated as a closer, and he took a step backward into an eighth inning role, he was really good his first couple of outings and then hit a bit of a rough patch and tougher time keeping the ball in the ballpark. And here, these last three or four outings, we're starting to see that dynamic uptick again. He's been 96, 97. He got the feel back on his cutter. And when he's right, it gives us a much different look at the back of our pen with Colome and Eddie. It really makes games feel a lot shorter.
Yeah, and you got to be pretty happy. I was just reading a stat from the PR department, 2.28 ERA since June 24th, and Mariners bullpen 2-0, 10 saves, 2.18 ERA, pretty awesome what you're getting out of guys like Pazos and Chase and Bradford.
There really are. Pazos, Chase and Bradford. It's been Roenis Elias. It's been all year for Edwin Diaz. And I'm really excited what we're seeing here lately out of Alex Colome and believe that we've not yet seen the best of Juan Nicasio or Nick Vincent. So there's still a lot of upside with this group, and I would be surprised if we're, whether it be expanding when we get to September or the chance to add an arm here in July, you know, it's certainly going to be something we pay attention to because they've done a great job and we want to make sure that we keep on adding.
What about the backup catchers? I can't believe it. You start out the season with Zunino and then Mike Marjama, and he retired this week. And you have David Freitas and Chris Herrmann out there, basically, to be honest with you, Jerry. I hadn't heard of these guys. And yet I really like them. They're playing well. Freitas with a homer last night. It was really cool to see a picture of him getting the ball from the kid that had his home run ball. And then Chris Herrmann looks great at the plate. And, boy, you guys, I mean, you got a third and fourth string catcher out there, and you're still sustaining your success here.
I think it speaks to the character of those guys. And, you know, Chris Herrmann's been in the league for 4 years, primarily in the National League. And Hermie's got some power. He does know where the strike zone's at, and he's a very good athlete, especially by the standards of catchers in our league. He runs well. He can throw. And the left-hand bat really helps, gives something to our roster. And David Freitas from spring training on is grinder. One of the more underrated receivers in the league, really grinds through the game. He'll fight for his chance to get on base. More importantly, he calls a good game. And he's about the best pitch blocker we've seen here. He does a great job back there. And when you have that to call on when it occurs, like with Z right now, I think it's awesome.
We had a listener text in, and I was just wondering, I thought I'd pass this along, Jerry. So Mike Zunino, we assume that he's going to come back from this ankle injury after the All-Star break. But how much of a difference between Freitas and Herman and Zunino with the pitching staff, when Zunino's out there calling the game, how much of a difference is there with him behind the plate?
You know, there's a trust and a comfort level with Mike and our pitchers, particularly the guys who've been here for a number of years. And I think the thing that Mike Zunino does best defensively, well, the two things, one, he's seeing the low balls. He's among the best in the business at kind of picking that low strike and or the ball just on the edge and making it appear to be a strike. And, you know, that's very important to us, especially with guys like Mike Leake and Marco Gonzalez, who tend to live at the bottom of the zone and get a lot of ground balls. And the other thing Mike does very well is he can call a game. He's always in tune with our pitchers. He's got a great rapport with them. And there is something to that relationship between a pitcher and a catcher that I guess goes beyond just what you see on a stat sheet. And we do miss him when he's gone, and we will be happy when he gets back, because first it adds to our depth, and secondly, our pitchers better because there is an inherent trust that they feel with you.
Jerry DePoto Show is brought to you by Ram Trucks and by Geico. Just a couple more questions here with the Mariners general manager. Jerry, with the shape of things in the standings, and you see a little bit of a division between contenders and non-contenders already, how is that going to affect the trade market this year?
You know, I don't really know that it's going to affect the trade market. I believe it affected the off-season markets maybe more than it has this trade market, but you're going to see the same level of activity that you've always seen in years past. And starting pitching is going to be a premium. And this year, I would say there's probably going to be maybe more relief arms on the market than have been in recent years, because there is a bigger divide between the teams that are contending and those that are not, which logically means that maybe a few more veteran guys will be in play during the months of July and August. But I don't anticipate great moves, especially, you know, meaning big roster moves, especially in the American League where, you know, teams like the Yankees, Red Sox, Astros, I mean, these teams are on pace for 104, 107 wins, and they really are outstanding teams. I'm sure each one of those teams will make one impact addition, but it's hard for me to believe there's just going to be this flood of activity in the American League.
Hey, Jerry, congratulations on your contract extension last week. And I guess the assumption is that Scott Servais will follow here pretty soon. Do you think we'll have some news on this during the All-Star week?
Tough for me to say that it would be in the All-Star week. I think one of the things, and this goes for players, the same is true of staff. Scott's in there living it every day with the players, with the coaches, and he's invested in today's win. I think we are all invested in Scott Servais managing the Mariners moving forward. But I think over the course of this last weekend, his focus is on what's happening on the field rather than taking care of our business. And there'll be the right time. And my guess is that it's sooner rather than later. But we'll focus on the games on the field right now and take care of business later. I don't think anyone anticipates that there will be an issue in Scott returning.
Jerry, did you get a Send Segura T-shirt?
Not only did I get one, I got the placard that it's hanging in my office. It was phenomenal to watch the fan turnout yesterday over at Safeco Field, and we went down. A handful of the players came out and delivered pizzas, and you know, we went down some selfies and fun conversation with really what equate to be our most passionate fans, and Kevin Mather, John Stanton, our marketing people. It was awesome to see everybody out there and how much the city cares about this team.
You think they make that T-shirt in XXL? Because I would really love one of those. What do you think?
I think all you have to do is ask Dave. There's a lot of fabric in the world.
You know what? Hey, wait a minute. That didn't sound good. I'm gonna text Randy Adamack right now because I love the picture. My favorite part is Gene's smiling face. He looks so sweet in this picture that's right in the middle of the T-shirt.
Just
awesome.
Just be sure not to tell Randy that you didn't vote.
Oh yeah, you know I
snitched on him. That was a terrible teammate.
You're a terrible teammate, Danny.
I'm a bad teammate.
Well,
Jerry, we Jim and I are very unsavvy. Whatever the opposite of savvy
Luddites.
Is, yeah, technology wise.
Yeah.
So.
If you're GM, can you vote?
Yeah. Did you vote, Jerry?
Oh, I will say that I spent most of the last 3 days on the phone with other GMs around the league and kept my headphones on and voted for Gene the whole time.
That's great. It's called multitasking.
Shame on you.
I know. You know what? You're right. I deserve that. We deserve it.
Jerry, we appreciate you taking the time. It's always fun to talk to you. All-star break next week, and we look forward to watching your team this weekend in Colorado. Thanks again, man.
You got it, guys. See you next week.